ache? I hope so. If you guys can't find a seat, you can spread on down. We'll be okay. All right. Well, welcome to our campers this morning. Welcome to everyone here in the auditorium, and welcome to those of you watching online. We had some fun at camp this week, and we thought we'd bring it here to you this morning. Hey, if this is your first time here this morning, make sure you stop out by the info center, grab a gift from us, and just real quickly fill out a connection card, just your name, some basic information. We just want to get to know you and connect with you in that way. So be sure to do that before you head out next Sunday. Everyone make note of this. You guys will probably be okay, but I really had to say it loud for the 9 o'clock. 10:30 is our one service time next week, okay? 10:30 out at the pond. We're not going to live stream it, so if you want to see it live, you got to be here. Bring your chairs, bring your blankets, bring your entire family out to the pond. We're going to watch and celebrate the baptisms. We're going to have a time of worship, and then we're going to have lunch and a little bit of a party, you know, a little bit of a party. It'll be fun. Woo, everybody loves a party, right? So be sure, 10:30, be here out at the pond. So we've had a great summer in Sunlight and student ministries. We've done a lot of things. So just to give you a brief overview, we started with Jam Camp, and that's where our kindergarten and fourth grade students came out. And our seventh and eighth grade students actually got to serve them and pour into them and teach them some Old Testament Bible stories. And then our high schoolers went out to Momentum a couple weeks ago, and they got poured into, had a great experience out there, grew in their relationship with the Lord. And then about 24 hours later, a lot of them turned around and came out to camp with an impact so that they could then pour into our fifth and sixth grade students. So we have had quite a time this summer. I could go on and on about it, but we thought we'd just show you in a video.
Hey, I was stuck inside that grave a long time. Didn't think I'd make it through those long nights. But you never late, you always on time. Remember when you got me all that, you got me all that. And now I see your blessings every day. Thankful that your kingdom's on the way. Angels all around me, hear them sing like, oh, I'll never get used to this. I'll never get used to this. This is how I wanna live. Forever we'll be singing like, oh, walk about the grave, yeah, I'm alive now. Told the devil, boy, you out of time now. Spirit moving in me, I'm on fire now. And I know it won't ever die. I
think I'm most excited for is making new friends and learning more about them.
See your blessings every day. Thankful that your kingdom's on the way. Angels all around me, hear them say night. I'll never get used to this. I'll never get used to this. This is how I wanna live. Forever we'll be singing live. Oh, I'll never get used to this.
Hey, what's that?
Yeah. From the morning to the evening, I can sing your praise all day. From the prison to the garden, you're the God who's breaking chains. When I look back on my whole life, there's a silver lining of grace. I can't wait to thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'll never get used to this.
So much fun, such great experiences, all the while learning about God and how we can share the hope of the gospel with others. So I just wanted you guys to see that, and I wanted to say thank you, because these things don't happen without your support and your giving. So in all the ways that you've given your time, your talents, and your treasure, thank you so much. Ways that you can give here are online. You can give in person. There are buckets in the back back there. And if you have questions about that, our info center would be happy to answer that for you as well. So in just a minute, we're going to hear from Rich Haddad. Many of you probably know him. If you don't know him, he has been in the past an executive pastor here at WCC, and he is currently on our elder board. He serves in that way now. He met his wife, Kathy, at Grace College, and they have served our community in various capacities over the past 30 years, and so we're grateful to hear from him this morning. If you could grab your Bibles or open your app to Philemon, we're going to prepare our hearts to read from that one more time during this series. Okay, here we go in Philemon. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Apphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do, but because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been much of use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any ways or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, my brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. One more thing, please prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. God, thank you for this message today, and thank you for Rich. We just pray that these would be your words brought through him, and we just pray blessings over each of these people here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Jada. I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed that we've read Philemon each week these last 3 weeks. It's just really good to kind of set the stage with God's word as we enter in. Also, the energy was amazing. I'm thinking maybe the kids need to come back every Sunday so they can kind of charge us up a little bit, fire us up. That was incredible. And the band, you guys were so talented, and thank you for all that you've given to this week. Well, I'm actually excited to share with you today about wrapping up the series on Philemon. When Todd had asked me if I'd be willing to talk today, and I said yes, he goes, well, I've got 3 pieces of advice for you that I need to have you share as you think about going ahead and doing that. Well, number one is make sure you wear an untucked shirt. It must be a thing here, I don't know, but that's, you know, I'm just kind of going with it because it seems like a lot of people who are speaking here have untucked shirts, so I'm like, okay, I'll do that. That's kind of the uniform. But the second thing he said was, hey, don't bring up my beloved St. Louis Cardinals because, you know, that they're kind of behind, they've fallen down, and the Cubbies are in first place, and so make sure you don't bring that up. So I promised I wouldn't, so I committed to that one. And the last thing he said was, hey, don't mess this up. You're kind of batting clean up here. You know, don't mess it up. So we'll see how that goes. But like I said, I'm really looking forward to our time together. But I want to start by, before we jump back into the book of Philemon, is to tell you the story of what led up to Paul writing this book, or the letter, really. Just so it gives us context. My hope is that you can find yourself in the story and in the characters in some way. So here we go. So Philemon was a well-to-do Roman citizen, or a wealthy Roman citizen, and he lived in Colossae. Now, what everybody believes is Philemon likely met Paul in the city of Ephesus, and that was a port city along the Mediterranean coast, very high economic driver of that time, and Paul led Philemon to the Lord. Paul's co-worker, Epaphras, actually went back to Colossae and helped found the church in Colossae. And Philemon, being of means, actually opened up his home so that the church could meet in his home, and he was a leader of the church of Colossae. The other thing I want to do is put kind of this whole story out on the map, and so you can kind of see the context. So if we put up the first map picture, this is kind of the known world at that time, and all the color lines are Paul's missionary journeys. So there's two observations for me that I thought were fascinating. One is, look at all the ground Paul covered. It's incredible in his lifetime how much of the known world he touched and shared the gospel with and brought the hope of Jesus to the Gentile world over his lifetime. But the other thing is, I think we look at the New Testament, look at all the books of the Bible, and we forget that this was real people and real places. So just to kind of work your way through the map from right to left, where my mug is in the lower section is where Jerusalem is. That's where obviously the Church of Jesus Christ was birthed out of. But if you go above that, where it says Asia Minor, that's modern-day Turkey. And that's where you have Ephesus and Colossae. And the whole region is called Galatia. So if you hear those words, it's like, oh, those were actually letters Paul wrote to Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians. And so that's like, oh, this was real people, real places. If you go towards the middle, the area near Greece, you have Corinth, you have Philippi, and Thessalonica. Corinthians, Philippians, Thessalonians. Isn't that interesting to kind of go, oh, yeah, this was all happening, real people, real places. And then all the way to the left is Italy, and that's Rome, and really, I think my favorite book of the Bible, Romans, Paul wrote to the people who lived and were sharing Christ in Rome. The other thing I want to point out is really in the context of his story, how broad, how spread out the characters were. So if you go to the next one, and there's a couple stars on there. So the orange star is Colossae. That's the city where Philemon lived and where the church was that he was a leader. All the way upper left was Rome. So you think about Paul is writing this letter to Philemon way over there, and he's got Onesimus helping him out and ultimately sends Onesimus back on this long, long journey to deliver the letter. Okay? So, back to the story. Like all people of wealth in the Roman world at that time, Philemon owned slaves, which again, as Aaron talked about last week, that isn't exactly the way we kind of see and understand slaves today. They had various professions and occupations and whatnot, but at the end of the day, they were property, and so under Roman law. And one of those slaves was Onesimus. At some point, there was a serious conflict between Onesimus and Philemon. Many believe he either cheated or stole from Philemon, and then he ran away. And again, if you recall the map, his runaway led him all the way over to Rome, where he met Paul. We're not sure how he ended up in prison with Paul. Maybe he asked for help. Maybe he got caught doing something as well. But ultimately, he was with Paul in prison, and Paul led him to the Lord, and he became a follower of Jesus. And then he became an assistant to Paul, really helping continue to spread the word of Christ for Paul or with Paul. So this is what brings us to the point where Paul finds himself in a very delicate situation. He's like, okay, I know Philemon, I know the church of Colossae, and he decides to write this letter to Philemon. Now, what makes this a delicate situation? There were four things that kind of come to mind for me. One is Paul would know that Philemon has rights under Roman law. He has rights to what happened, and we have to deal with that. The other is within the law in Rome, property is supposed to be returned to its owner. Thirdly, slaves can be punished, and sometimes very severely, for wrongdoings they've done to their master. And then lastly, I hadn't really thought about this till recently, Philemon likely was humiliated in his social circles for Onesimus to have done this to him. You know, it's like the country club guys are over there going, hey, did you hear what happened to Philemon? That would never happen to me, but poor Philemon. He had a big thing going on with his slave Onesimus, blah, 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 right? But in his social circles, this certainly would have been something that would have been a humiliation to him. One of the other things maybe most historians believe is that when Onesimus brought this letter to Philemon, he brought also the letter to the church of Colossae. So here's Onesimus coming all the way across the map, and he shows up, probably was a shocker, and he hands one letter to kind of the church leaders and goes, this is Paul's letter to you, church. And it's like, hey, Philemon, I got a private letter for you. And that's where we pick up with Philemon. Philemon now has a choice to either follow Paul's request and plea or not. How do you think that turned out? Well, I'll give you a little spoiler alert. The letter ended up in our Bible, so I think maybe it turned out pretty well. It's become what we learn from. It's God's word that we take from and can apply. And so I think it turned out well. For those of you that know me, you know I'm kind of a pragmatic application guy. And I've always seen or just kind of read Jesus' teachings as pretty straightforward, pretty simple, right? It's not overly complicated. The problem is it might be easy, simple, but not easy. Where I kind of have difficulty is in the application part, right? And so that's where my challenge is. How do I take the teachings of Jesus and actually live that way every day? This morning, it's about demonstrating grace. It's about showing grace to others and to this world who has very little grace to offer, right? By the way, who is the author of grace? We all know that. That's one of those easy answers. Who demonstrated or showed grace to us? Well, it's God himself when he offered us his son. I want to read Romans 5:8 that I think captures that real well. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So when's grace needed? For us and God providing Jesus, it's when we were still sinners. Remember when Aaron last week, he said, when is grace needed? Well, when have you been wronged? Or when have you wronged somebody else? Grace is needed. It brought back a memory for me back in my executive pastor days here. I was actually kind of the point person to help build the building we all get to sit in. So that shows you how old I am, way back 20 plus years ago. But along the way, we had a lot of various contractors, and we committed to one contractor for some work. And he's like, well, I'm ready to get started, so give me a check. And so we got him a check, pretty good sized check. And then no work happened. And no work happened, and we went back and forth, and no work happened. And ultimately, we said, you know, this isn't going to work out. Why don't we just part ways? We'll get a different contractor to do the work. And they were like, fine, we'll just part ways. Well, if you know me, I'm like, okay, can you send us the money back? And the contractor said, well, no. I did planning, I did prepping, so I feel like I earned that, so no, you're not getting the money back. And we back and forth. Ultimately, as a church, we felt like we don't want to take this into legal places. This is probably not a good thing for us to do as a church, and we basically let it go. So I felt wronged. I felt like we, WCC, was wronged. And I felt like I needed to do something about that. I'll come back to that story as we get more into this. I want to remind you of the definitions that Todd gave us in week one about grace and mercy, because I'm going to use those. Grace is being given something that you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting something we do deserve. So we're going to look at grace shown or grace demonstrated in Philemon. And to me, there are three key elements that jump out to me. The first one is grace demonstrated is usually within relationship. Paul is making a major request to Philemon, but the letter is just filled with references to close and intimate relationships for all three of the main characters. I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm just going to point out through the book how many times Paul identifies relationship. In verse 1, he refers to Philemon as a co-worker or a partner. In verse 2, he brings up Apphia and Archippus. And a lot of historians believe that Apphia was Philemon's wife, and Archippus was Philemon's son. So he was thanking the family of Philemon. Verse 7, he calls Philemon a brother. And then in verse 10, he refers to Onesimus as a child and himself as a father. Verse 16 goes back to brother twice as he talks about Onesimus. Verse 17, back to Philemon, you are a partner with me. And then finally in verse 20, a brother with Philemon. Paul is pointing out relationship, appealing to relationship, and challenging Philemon to step into a relationship with Onesimus, which again is a big deal given their status differences. Paul is even confident that their relationship is going to endure this intense request of Philemon. I find the verse pretty humorous, but if you look at verse 22, near the end of his letter, he says, "One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you." So as big of a request it was, this was of Philemon, he was confident that their relationship could get through that and they hopefully could reunite in the future. So how does this matter to us? Well, I would say we need to be in relationships, right? How are we pursuing relationships around us so that we get the opportunity to demonstrate grace? We can't demonstrate grace to people if we're not in relationship with them. Giving something or giving without relationship, people often refer to that as charity. That's a good thing, but it is without relationship. Giving with relationship is about restoration, and that's grace. All right, let's go to key number two. Grace demonstrated is greater than mercy. Remember the definitions. Grace is giving something that isn't deserved, while mercy is not giving something that is deserved. Well, let's read Philemon 16 and 17. "He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord." Paul's request of Philemon was far more than mercy. It was simply not asking Philemon to not punish him, which was his right under Roman law, but he was asking Philemon to embrace him as an equal, as a brother in the Lord. Talk about simple but not easy, right? Philemon had rights. Philemon had social status. Philemon had a reputation. But Philemon was also a follower of Jesus. And Paul teed him up. That's a golf term for my golf buddies out there. He teed him up to demonstrate grace to the church of Colossae. No wonder Paul threw in a few of those "I could" demands in that letter, right? It's like, I could kind of, you know, play my Paul apostle card. But he didn't. He asked him out of love. But it was a lot to ask. Paul knew what the potential impact could be, really the ripple effect of the early Christian church if Philemon did what he asked. Well, how about us when we are wronged? How do we handle it? True confession, for me, at some point, I might get to the forgiveness stage, but most likely I end up writing off the relationship. Like, okay, I'll let it go, cool, but not interested in you anymore, right? Did I really just forgive? Did I simply give mercy? I'm not gonna bring any consequences or retribution on you. Did I give grace or just mercy? The extra step of grace is about restoration. It's not just about withholding consequences. All right, let's look at the third key. Grace demonstrated often involves sacrifice. Sacrificing or giving up something is often the tangible action that demonstrates grace. Let's see how Paul demonstrates this to Philemon in verses 18 and 19. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write with my own hand, I will repay it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. A little jab again. Paul is offering to bear the cost or sacrifice for the grace he's asking Philemon to give to Onesimus, right? Many times, in many ways, demonstrating grace comes with a cost. For us, we might, what might that look like? And today, like, what does it mean for me to give something to demonstrate grace? I've got a few pictures that just to bring some examples to mind of how demonstrating grace might look. Let's put up the first one. This is a collage of pictures of Camp with an Impact this week, which was awesome again, and loved having them here. But I want you to notice the adults in the pictures. These adults gave themselves their time, maybe took vacation time, their energy. They gave to these kids so that these kids could experience God in a whole new way and continue to grow. That's demonstrating grace. Here's another picture of our building that we get to sit and enjoy and worship and learn and go out and make a difference. But over 20 years ago, the people at WCC were asked to sacrifice. They were asked to give sacrificially so that we could build this building and continue to grow this ministry. And amazingly, almost $5 million was committed and given to be able to build this building so that we could sit here today and go out from here and demonstrate grace this year to people around us. That's demonstrating grace through giving. The last one I want to put up is a picture, if you were here last week or saw online, of the story with Beverly and Jan. And the interesting thing to me that I noticed as we heard their story and the opportunity that because Beverly was in a relationship with Jan and she pulled us as a church in, we could demonstrate grace to Jan. But one of the things they said in their interview was the two of them were helping other neighbors until then Jan's situation became urgent. Isn't that cool that in relationship, Beverly and Jan were demonstrating grace by helping others? Well, let me go back to that contractor story. Here's how it played out, and it didn't play out great for me, but God is faithful. And he never leaves us. We were singing about that this morning. And so the first thing I did was probably my own doing, was I chose to pay back the church for the lost check. So I felt responsible. I took that on. I paid the cost. We extended our giving beyond what we had committed to so that the church became whole. But over several years, God was working on me, and he said, yeah, no, that's not it. That's not your heart. And so a few years later, I think it might have been one of those First Friday Stations of the Cross, and I was able to write that contractor down on a piece of paper and leave it at the foot of the cross and say, I am forgiving and letting go. And God said, yeah, you're not done yet. I'm going to ask you to restore that relationship. And pretty quickly after the forgive and let go, he was tugging on my heart to say, you need to start back into that relationship and be okay with that. And I was able to do that over time, to begin having conversations, to laugh and interact with that contractor. And interestingly, leading up to this week, I actually connected with him in a meeting, and we sat for 5 minutes and had a good laugh about something. Now, I don't say that because it took years. Trust me, this was a tough journey for me, but it took until restoration, I believe, until I could show grace. And so I only challenge you to say, is there somebody in your life that really needs you to demonstrate grace to them? Is there somebody who's wronged you or you've had difficulty with, that maybe God can start leading you down a journey of restoration, of you being able to demonstrate the same grace that God has shown to us? Well, I want to just pivot just a little bit as we kind of wrap this up today and talk about modeling grace for others. In other words, my story was somewhat in secret, right? It was just kind of my own kind of internal heart issue of growth and moving forward and with a particular person. But what Paul was asking of Philemon is to model it publicly, to model it out loud. And the reality for us as followers of Jesus in this community is that people are watching us. People see you. People are watching you. Oh, you go to WCC? I'm going to kind of keep an eye on you, right? And we shouldn't shy away from that as much as be aware of that. But this is a great example where Paul essentially was asking Philemon, hey, show grace to Onesimus, but demonstrate your grace to the church of Colossae. And then in a ripple effect, really, the early church of Jesus Christ around the world. Well, how did that turn out? We know that the church of Jesus Christ changed the world and continues to change the world. Aaron talked about within a few hundred years of this time frame that slavery was virtually wiped out in Roman culture. Who do you think had the biggest influence on that? Jesus and his followers, right? So the ripple effect of Philemon being able to show Onesimus grace was something that really had a ripple effect through the entire church at that time and beyond. So, as we wrap up, are we demonstrating grace to people around us? Are we modeling Christ to others? Are we letting the Holy Spirit do his work through us, right? Demonstrating love, grace, kindness, really in a graceless world, how much would we be noticed and stand out if we really offered grace that Jesus has offered to us? Well, back to Paul, he actually not only modeled it himself, but he declares the opportunity to model it or to be an example for others. Let me read 1 Corinthians 11:1. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. In other words, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you say that? Can I say that? I've never said that. I can't imagine saying that to another person, follow me as I follow Christ. And as I reflected on that, kind of like, why can't I say that? Three things come to mind, and just kind of think about whether any of these resonate with you. What are the reasons why I would struggle to say that? Number one, I feel inadequate. I'm not prepared enough, or equipped enough, or confident enough, or knowledgeable enough to say that to somebody else. Number two, I know my own sinfulness. My past, my mind, my heart, falling short and constantly wrestling with wrong thoughts and behavior, I know my own sinfulness. And third, I don't feel like I have anything to offer. What can I really offer of value to someone else that I would be willing to say, follow me as I follow Christ? Does any of that resonate with you? Well, I'm going to ask you to stand as we close, if everybody can stand. Because I want to give you some truth. Remember, grace and truth is inseparable, right? The truth is, we aren't enough. But Jesus Christ is. Amen? If you have accepted him as your Savior and you're following him as Lord of your life, he is adequate. He is sinless. And he has infinite value. And he is in you. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ is in you. For any of you that have not yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ, this is what he's offering. He is all you need. You'll have freedom from sin and darkness. And you'll have value because he loves you and he sees you. Church, may we carry the hope of the gospel to the world that has no hope. Let's demonstrate grace together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for you being the author of grace by sacrificing your son, Jesus, so that we could have life and a relationship with you. And we lean on our faith in Jesus Christ to have confidence in him, in us, and through us to demonstrate grace to the people around us and to a world that desperately needs us. Thank you, Lord. Be with us. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all. Have a great Sunday.